Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, everyone, to another edition of VTE Professional Network Radio. I'm your host, Ed Peterson. Today's date, ladies and gentlemen, of course, is Freedom Friday, March the 27th, 2015. As we continue on our growth series for our growth month, for the month of March, we're assisting everyone in the marketplace, business owners, churches, and nonprofit organizations, how to build and grow their network in the area where they do business. As we continue on moving now that we entered into our first quarter of the year, what is our goals for the remaining part of this year, 2015, and how can we continue on building a successful network? Well, we're going to have a special guest on our show today. We're representing Mr. Norman Ray Fitz in reference to his creative writing and teaching others in reference to screenwriting. And this is a great opportunity, ladies and gentlemen. So I want you to take copious notes as we begin to share a great opportunity with the production of this film here in Houston, Texas. Joy Comes in the Morning, the docudrama produced by SES Films here in Houston, as we continue to represent independent films throughout the country and throughout this city as well, Houston, Texas. But I wanted to just share with you this thought, ladies and gentlemen. How many people are really interested and willing to do what it takes to get to the next level? What sacrifices are we making today, and how can we continue to spread the word that's meaningful and relevant in the workplace, in the marketplace today? Well, with internet going as virally as big as it is today, and everything now is online today, it will behoove you to continue on looking for opportunities and ways to grow in reference to this market. And now that we're going to have a great opportunity in sharing that this year, as we continue to update and give you guys all that you need, you can go always to our website and check us out at www.globaltouchenterprise.net. And we're building a new website right now currently for Miss Layla Michelle, actress locally here in Houston, Texas. So we're going to be looking out for that. Another announcement that we're going to be doing, we again have another casting call, the final casting call actually coming up with SES Films here in Houston, Texas, which is going to be on April the 12th, 2015, and it's going to be at 8484 Wilcrest Drive, Suite C, Houston, Texas, 77072. So all the actors and actresses that haven't heard about it or want to know more and get information, come out to that casting call. This is our final casting call for SES Films. And it's going to give everybody an opportunity to expand and grow as we're going to continue to build up the market here in Texas in reference to film and production, and also in assisting actors and actresses across the board throughout the state of Texas in reference to growing their network. And again, guys, it's all about building a network, not a business, but a network. And how are we going to build a network? By collaborating and co-oping together is the key. So without further ado, I'm going to bring on our special guest, Mr. Norman Ray Fitz. I'm really excited and pleased that he had the time to take from his busy schedule to share with us some insights in reference to his screenwriting that he put together for this movie, Joy Comes in the Morning, and other projects that he has in the works as well that he's put together. So without that, I'm going to bring him on right now. Norman,
how
you
doing?
Are you there?
I'm doing here.
Well.
How are you doing?
How are you?
Doing pretty
well,
good.
Sir. Great, great, great. Well, I really want to, first of all, thank you for tuning in and coming on board as our special guest today on GTE Professional Network Radio, and also to just kind of share with everybody in reference to the industry what's going on right now in film and in screenwriting as a whole, what's taking place that people can start looking forward to as we work toward independent films and films are growing and the levels that they are now in the, independently in their own cities and states.
Well, I am a screenwriter. I've been writing for about 25 years. I'm also a published novelist. I have 5 novels that have been published. But right now my focus has been on the screenwriting aspects of it, film. I run the world's largest film production meetup group here in Houston, so I have an opportunity to contact and be in contact with the people in the Houston and East Texas area that are in the process of making film. I got involved in with Joy Comes in the Morning. To be quite frank with you, normally I write them and give them to somebody and then wait for the film. But in this particular instance, this was a very, very special project. So I've become quite a bit more involved with it than I have with some other projects I've done. It was an interesting challenge to take a book that was authored by a couple of ladies. And the subject is cancer and cancer survival. Now, we wanted to create a feature-length documentary drama, and even though this is a very serious subject, I had to somehow make the film entertaining to some degree, so people would watch it and wait for what was going to happen next in it. And I think I accomplished that. Everyone says that I have. So I'm really anxious to see how this film comes out. We seem to have had a lot of people that have been touched by cancer that just wants to be part of it. People have volunteered themselves, their work and their effort and to make this thing come true. And I'm really looking forward to it.
Well, me too, Norman, and from reading the script myself, and I got a chance to read the script as well, I really took in heart as to everything that you put into it, heart, mind, and soul, into this project, and it really wanted me to do more just by reading the script and my participation as the marketing director for SAS Films for the movie Joy Comes in the Morning. I wanted my company, Global Touch Enterprise, and of course on GT Professional Network Radio, to basically support and assist in sharing and spreading the word to as many as possible who would want to hear it. But this is, like you said earlier, it is a very important project, a very important piece that we need to be putting together and getting out there. And everybody can relate. And everybody that we've talked to, from Christy Titman, our script writer, our script supervisor, rather, out of California, and now we have Ray and his team coming on board, and then with Eddie Bauer and everybody else jumping in on this project, shows exactly the capacity that this can take. And I'm looking at it now, Norman, on a more global scale, more than just a local scale.
Okay, yeah, I've from what I've heard and from what I've been told, this project has reached far beyond Houston to all parts of the country and in some cases parts of the world, from what I can tell. So I'm really anxious to see how this thing comes off. I think it has every chance in the world of becoming one of the better films put out this year. Who knows where it can go?
Exactly, and that's what I see in light of that myself, and then in your efforts and what you've put together, and really in writing this out, because I mean, even from speaking with the author of the book, Rebecca M. Shepherd, out of Akron, Ohio, and her people up there in Ohio are also looking forward to it. I had to put together her website and design her website for her to share that the book and the movie both will be a big opportunity and a piece to get people to be more aware as to what's relevant and what's meaningful today in society. So I'm really excited to hear about all of the different levels of that we're getting feedback at different levels from different groups of people from all walks of life, and even in the entertainment business, as far as any actors and actresses that also share, they say, well, we'd love to be a part of this. And from the casting calls, Norman, you've seen the number of people that have come out to our casting calls that we've set up here in Houston. It shows the magnitude of what people are looking at.
Well, yes, it's the I wanted it's one thing to listen to just facts and figures. You know, you hear those all the time. You hear people talking about this and talk about that, just as facts and figures. I wanted this film to have an emotional connection to the audience, and that's basically how I designed it. So it will have an emotional connection to the audience, so maybe they will take heart with what they see. I know we covered a very rare case of cancer, which is male breast cancer. And we did a little part on that because men really need to know what to look for. And from what I understand, that's only about 1% of the diagnosed cases. So it's something that could get overlooked, ignored, and it'll kill a man as quick as it'll kill a woman. So people really have to pay attention to themselves, pay attention to what's happening to them. And I think this film is going to raise that level of paying attention above where it may be today.
Yeah, I see that as well, too, Norman. And like I said, this has been a great opportunity. I'm very honored that the producer has come to me in reference to assisting in reference to this film. I didn't know exactly the levels until I learned from you, from the writing of the script and everything that you put together and what we put out there in the marketplace. With the promotional team that we put together and reference to Magic 102, the radio station here, and the TV networks that we got on board with it, it's really, it says how big this thing can really get, but it also shows how important it is. And then, like you said, making it a little bit more entertaining, even though this is a serious piece, but you just want to make it a little bit more people can watch it and also say, well, when they leave, I want them to be emotionally impacted by the film and what we all wanted to know about in reference to that. And I noticed you said you had your daughter to help you from MD Anderson to help you put this pieces together.
Yeah, my daughter's on staff at MD Anderson, and I had to review the script for the medical aspects of it and for the conversations that doctors have with patients. I didn't want to do something that they normally wouldn't do. So I had her review this, and she sent it back to me all marked up. So we went through and made the changes that she felt was necessary to make it, to add the touch of realism that it needed to be, because a film should be should appear like something that happens every day. It's like you're outside looking in, watching somebody's life pass by in front of you. That's what it should feel like. So I wanted it to feel the way it should feel based on the information being transferred from the doctor to the patient and the patient to the doctor. Are you there?
Wow. Well, Norman, that's one of the things that I'm really glad that you're tricking the heart to that. And that shows the professionalism and, of course, the realism, too, as well as the effects of this film that you put together. And of course, with the actors that's going to be portraying on this movie, they're going to be able to see the actual effects, too, from the script.
Right. And I was very, very pleased to find out about the connection we're going to have with Make-A-Wish.
Oh, yes, Norman. Let me share something with you. Christy Seidman is the one who set this up with Lena over at Make-A-Wish Foundation. And to have the kids make their wish come true, they always wanted to be in acting or in film or in some type of movie. This right here says a lot in reference to what you guys in SCS Films have decided with Rig Media to help out with this project and getting that out to that. And we're supporters of the American Cancer Society, Make-A-Wish Foundation, Lupus in Nevada, and others, you know. So everybody know that this is a community thing. This is just not a Hollywood or motion picture kind of thing, but it's a community thing that we can all be a part of and be involved in. And that says a lot. And to see these young people get excited and wanting to be in the film says a lot, too.
Yeah, we do have a number of parts for kids, and we have the two parts reserved for the two kids from Make-A-Wish. That's all set up. We have a few other kids that will be in it for one way or another, and I always like to see the young folks get involved, especially in something like this. They're part of a message that's being delivered to the world.
Yes, and that message right there says that we're actually paying attention and we actually are following in the movement. And this is a movement. This is not just a movie. It's a movement. And when I look at it like that and we share it that way, and it's all about how we do it. And that's why I put together, Norman, Carl's marketing effect to this, promoting this project that we have to date. And with the cause marketing, it gives everybody an opportunity to be a part of something that they've always said, well, you know, I know someone who have went through this ordeal. I know someone who has also have gone through this and that. And so with that, everybody's giving their insights and input to, I want them to also be able to speak about it, because there's a voice, and this film is basically giving a voice to the voiceless and helping those get the message out a lot better to the world.
I agree with that wholeheartedly. This is such a special project. Saying it's special is really understating it. I just don't have a better word for it. But I am very fortunate to have been asked to become involved. I've written a lot of screenplays, and I've had a number of the scripts produced. But this one's truly the most special project that I've ever had to deal with.
Wow, that says a lot, Norman. In the number of years you've been doing this, that says a magnitude of a lot right there. And you know what? This is the first for me, too, being on this level. And this is the deepest I've actually ever been in with movies or film. You know, I've done a few little plays here and there and little marketing promotions here and there, but never nothing to this level of this magnitude. And me and Chrissy were saying that today, that this is something that we're learning. I'm learning from you guys. I'm learning from what it takes to do all these kind of projects on this level. But I wanted to be careful, though, so that way I don't miss a step or we don't miss a beat as to what is relevant and what is really said. And based on the book, by Rebecca Shepherd, Joy Comes in the Morning, some of the inserts that she shared in the book, we want to put it out there. So that's another thing that we're going to be doing as well as we continue to promote this before the production starts of this film. So April 12th, ladies and gentlemen, we do have the last casting call that we're going to be doing here in Houston, 8484 Willcrest Drive, right here in Houston, Texas. It's going to start on the 12th from 9:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. And Norman, I know you're going to be there, of course, as well. And anything else, any other projects that you think, I mean, that you have coming up right now besides this one that you're writing for?
Well, right now, I have a producer, Victoria Weese. She's already made one of my films, Survival. And she's got three more of my films that she's fixing to put out. She's fixing to cast one of them, Reflections, and then she's got two more, Second Chance and Yes, You Can. I have another one that's in California with a young actor named Dalton Gray that I wrote for him called The Ritual. It's already has half of the funding in place, and they're doing location selections and one thing on that, so that's gonna happen. Eddie Bauer Jr., who is involved with this project, I was involved with putting together a script for him called Casa del Agua, which is really a story of his early life, which is sort of in the mill to get done as well. I have written several films for other people, and I've given to produce. Now I'm just waiting to see when that happens. You never know for sure. I teach a screenwriting class, and the first thing I tell my class is, if you can't take rejection, go do something else, because that's what happens a lot of times with screenplays.
I agree with that. Right, and so it's really good and exciting to see what Houston has to offer in films. I know originally where I'm from, Chicago up north, we do a lot of films up north, and the city of Chicago has set aside areas where they can do film production, where no other company can come in and use any of these lots that's reserved. I'm hoping that Houston can do the same thing like we did in New York, like we did in Chicago, when they can reserve, Norman, areas for filming and for production films. And that's what I'm hoping, that with the mayor, whoever the new mayor is going to be after a new fucker gets out, whoever comes in, I want to make sure we have somebody that can do that on that level. As the city is continually growing by leaps and bounds, Houston has really, in the number of years I've lived in this city, I've seen nothing but growth since I've been here. And I understand exactly the level of magnitude of what we're doing as far as movies and production is concerned, with a lot of the reality shows and TV shows that are popping up here in Houston as well. So that's another plus.
Yeah, I've been I moved to Houston in 1950, so I've been here longer than most of the people I know that were born here. But, you know, Texas, if you're not born in Texas, you'll never be a Texan. It's as simple as that. And I was born in Bessemer, Alabama. We moved here in 1950, and I've been here ever since.
Wow! And so with the way that I've seen now, and it's really good to see that everybody has really taken a heart. And I see you have a lot of followers, Norman. I was looking at your page on Facebook, and I said, wow, Norman got a lot of followers here. So it's really good to see that a lot of the young people that are looking to become screenwriters and doing films and independent films. What do you see independent films, Norman, in the next 5 years?
I see, well, you know, a lot of film companies, production companies that are considered mainline started out as independents. Miramax is probably the biggest example of that. Miramax was basically an independent until they did The English Patient. It won the Academy Award, and that put them on the map. So, and they've been doing tons of stuff since then. But it doesn't matter whether you're an independent or whether you're a union shop. What matters is what goes up on that screen. What matters is what that looks like. I tell folks that write these little 20-page scripts, what they are is a marketing tool for the people that produce them. They're not going to really make any money off of them, but what they're going to make off of them is they're going to get their product up there where people can see it in a short span of time, and that will get them other business. The same way with the actors. They use it as a reel. If you can make that 20-minute film look like a Hollywood production for sight and sound, that will get you other work, and that's what those short films are all about.
Wow, you said a mouthful right there, and I think all of my listeners have also taken note to that. I hope you guys took note of that, ladies and gentlemen. What Norman is saying is so true, and it is what's being put on that film is what makes the matter, makes the film even more marketable. And it's all about how we market it, too, and what we're utilizing today. And with technology the way it is, I don't see it slowing down anytime soon at this point in juncture. So, and then with the web series, now that I'm seeing a lot of that, a lot of my friends that are in acting or acting are doing web series now, and you're going to see a lot of that coming in and about. So it's a lot of transformations that's being taken place right now this year.
Well, see, the one thing that James Cameron proved with Avatar, if money is no object, there's nothing you can write they can't put on the screen. It's as simple as that. Money's no object, there's nothing they can't put on the screen that you write. And interestingly enough, I have one of my novels, The Sentinel, which I wrote for kids, and kids love it. It's being produced as an animated feature right now, and one of the people who is involved with Cameron's people creating Avatar is working with them on this one. And it's going to be an animated feature with embedded live actors, but we're not going to put makeup on them, so to speak. We're not going to digitize them. They're going to be right there, and they're working on it right now. It looks really good. The people that are producing it, it's due out in 2016. But I wanted that one as an animated film because kids tend to like to go to animated films more so than others. I think more kids will watch it. But it is a really true, basic there's a lesson to be learned with it. And every kid that I know of that's read the book just loves the book. And I was really excited when these people decided they wanted to take it and create an animated feature off of it.
Wow, that's great, and I'm really excited for that. I know how big animation films are, and I think it's really taken off. And what you said, right, with James Cameron put together was really a great concept. with Avatar, and I got a chance to really see the difference and change. It's just like in the video game world. I'm sorry to say I'm shifting, but in the video game world, everybody knows now this could be a movie. And they make the little movie, the short film series on it when you're playing these games, and you see the little short films involved in it now. And short films is big, would you say?
Yes, they are. In fact, I've got a premier game, the person who actually creates the engines for people to use in games to move through the games, he's involved with the Sentinel project as well. So it's going to work out really well. But yeah, I think animation, I've seen some animation. It's hard to tell if it is animation. They're getting so good at it. Somebody once said, I don't know how far they were talking ahead, but they said one of these days your film stars will only exist in a computer.
That is so true. Yes, you're wow. And that goes to show you exactly the trends and what's taking place. And I know I follow the trends a lot. I'm I see exactly what's coming. Coming from manufacturing taught me this years ago. Working from Zenith Electronics, Motorola, and Hewlett Packard up north, since we are a manufacturing state, Illinois is. It's just that they think 20 years out. They already know exactly the technology where it's going to go. And so it is in film now, and so it is in movies and independent films and different types of films that's being out here today in the marketplace. And why we wouldn't want to be a part of something on a serious piece to create a movement, to create a certain following to assist the communities where people are. And that's something that we can do now at home, and that's the beauty part of it, you know. And that's what I love about when I get a chance to hear about certain stories or certain things. As a poet myself and writer, I think about a lot of things that I said, man, if we could just put this in a certain light, I think this will wake up everybody and everybody get a chance to see what's really happening out there.
Well, when they see Joy Comes in the Morning, they're going to realize that maybe this is a track that they may want to take their cause or their project to, because they're going to see this is going to be completely different than what you have normally seen as far as a documentary or information delivering medium. It's going to be entertaining. It's going to be attaching. It's going to be emotionally attaching. And I think when other folks see the success we're going to have with this film and how it affects the audience, they're going to kind of want to go that way as well.
Yeah, I think this movie will be based for the organizations and for the causes that we have that we're supporting and sharing their stories in a certain way, reference to the author of the book and reference to what the organizations that have supported us. American Cancer Society, when they say, okay, you guys, yeah, here we go, we wanted it to be more than that. We wanted it to be more meaningful, more deeper than that in reference to how it's going to be portrayed and how it's going to be shared amongst everybody. And with the different cultures, different groups, different organizations that we're collaborating with, this is going to really say that it's all about all for one, and everybody needs to be in that, co-oping, collaborating, all coming together. And the cool part about that, even in our industry, electronics, it's always now, there's no cutthroat. Everybody's sharing in their items in reference to what's going on in consumer electronics today. Same thing I wanted to be in organizations, nonprofit organizations especially. There shouldn't be a certain group that we should just fund. We should be able to fund all of them in reference to what they're doing in the community for young people, for adults, for our elderly, and for the veterans. What about the veterans? What about the people that need the support? So homelessness, all these different situations that we talk about, we don't bring about a way to resolve or to assist any of these things unless we have a celebrity or somebody talking about it.
Well, that's the way it works a lot of times, unfortunately. But it's nice that the celebrities will take the time to try to make a point to the people they need to make a point to. But it's the common everyday people, the people that get involved with these folks on a daily basis. The homeless, people see them all the time. And it's how everyone in general relates to somebody who is having a problem or they're in trouble or whatever the case may be, whatever put them in their situation. When the general public can show the concern that the organizations that are designed to show concern, when they can do that, then we'll really accomplish something.
Well, Norman, I know our time is short, guys. This is just a 30-minute show, but our time is almost up. But I really want to thank you for tuning in, ladies and gentlemen, and for Norman being our special guest, Norman Ray Fitz. Guys, if you want to know more about what Norman is getting into, Norman, what information can they get in touch with you in reference to any other new projects that you got coming out?
Well, my website is www.normanrayfitz.com. They can go there and learn a lot more about me, or they can just Google my name.
Cool. Norman Ray Fitz, guys. It's, again, Norman, and his Fitz is spelled F-I-T-T-S. I had to learn that one.
Yeah. Yeah, people always want to spell it the other way, but it's F-I-T-T-S.
Yeah. Exactly. Well, thank you, Norman, again, for tuning in. And, yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for tuning in to this show for this edition of DTE Professional Network Radio. Next week, we're going to have some more stuff coming up as we continue on, as we close out this month. We're moving into the month of April now. This is going to be a great month as we continue our growth series to help and assist small business churches and nonprofit organizations across the country how to build and grow your network in the area where they do business. Until then, next week, keep the faith and keep building the dream.